difficult things we'll deal with as Christians is doing the right thing and taking whatever comes out of it. Being kind to someone when he could have been advancing his own agenda. Maybe even getting meanness returned for your kindness. I want to show you something tonight. Now, I hesitate to show it to you because it's a video clip, but it's graphic. All right, be ready, be warned. Some people have called it horrifying. It's so real, this video clip, that it might just frighten you and conjure up some old memories for those of us who have lived through similar circumstances. Yet it's because of its highly relative association to our lives and tonight's topic that I feel we have to pull close to one another. Grab a hand if you need to and witness this event. Only a month or two away. Well, about a little over a month away, right? Well, just about every one of us has a Scott Farkas in our lives. For some of us, these are distant memories from our childhood. And for others, Scott Farkas is someone we deal with on an almost daily basis. Well, King Solomon spoke about these kind of people in the passage we've been studying for the past several weeks. Proverbs chapter 6. If you want to get out your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll read from 16 to 19. If you want, we'll just bring it up on the center screen for those who don't have their Bibles. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, and feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among his brothers. Now, did you catch that one statement in there that said, hands that shed innocent blood? Now, King Solomon, he's being very poetic with his description for the sake of the Hebrew art form here. But what he is putting his finger on here is that God hates the act of doing evil against the defenseless, the bully, the tormentor, the oppressor, the tyrant, the persecutor, and the intimidator. I had someone come up to me once and they said to me, "Can you speak about bullying? Because I seem to be a bully magnet." Now, I know that feeling very well. The wicked oppressing the innocent, the cruel abusing the timid, and the mean victimizing the sweet. It's been going on since the fall in the garden. You look back in the Old Testament, you'll see how Israel was bullied by Egypt for hundreds of years. Why, God? Why does that happen? We see David, who was anointed king, but instead bullied by Saul for years on the run. What's the deal, God? Even Westbridge Community Church, little baby Westbridge Community Church, was bullied right out of Stuartsville by some unhappy sporting parent. As followers of God, how are we to view and accept and treat bullying that comes at us? Because, gang, I can assure you, Scott Farkas is alive and well today. He just has a different name. Just has a different face on him. To go one step further, I'll say this. We will run into Scott Farkas's in our life, guys and girls. So let's look at the big picture. Let's look at this concept of what Solomon is pulling out here and that the Bible paints for us. The first, I want you to understand this. In the big picture of this thing, point one is this. Maltreatment must happen. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says this. If people did wrong to me, they will do wrong to you too. The people of the world will hate you because you belong to me. Jesus is never accused of any bait and switch tactics. He never tells us that every battle will be victorious. Jesus never tells us that problems will disappear in our lives or that bullies will cower when we simply fold our hands to pray. Instead, Jesus informs us that exploitation, abuse, and cruelty will be active issues in the lives of his believers. Why is that? Well, he gives us the reason here. Evil loathes goodness. Darkness will hate the light. Misery will abhor happiness. And whether you know it or not, there is a cosmic battle going on around us, gang. And guess what? You and I are in it. You are a soldier in this cosmic battle. Ephesians 6:12 says this. It says, now our fight, this cosmic battle, it's not against people on earth. We are fighting against rulers and authorities and the powers of this world's darkness. We are fighting against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly world. And the thing we tend to miss in this cosmic battle between good and evil is this. Battles are not fought for the soldier's good, but battles are fought for the achievement of the war's agenda. Soldiers are going to get shot at. Bullies will give soldiers scars. Soldiers will get wounded. I used to think that God's agenda was to merely give me, one of his soldiers, a happy and complete full soldier life. I used to think that when I decided what I wanted to do for God, I merely had to inform God of this new agenda that I had, and that he'd get right in line, and he'd make my campaign happen, and it would happen problem-free and stress-free. But when I looked in the Bible, I never see a single case of God looking to his people and asking, hey, what agenda would you like to accomplish? Instead, I see God telling Moses. I see him telling Joshua, Elijah. God says, here's what I'm going to do. And here's the part I want you to play in it. God doesn't say, here's what I'd like to do, if you're willing. Here's what I would like to do, but only if you're agreeable. Here's what I would like to get done, but I can't if you won't help. No, God says, here's what I'm going to do. And your mission, soldier, is to bring these people out of Egypt, Moses. Your job, soldier, is to cross the Jordan River and take the people into the promised land, soldier Joshua. Your job, soldier, is to go to work and be kind to that person who isn't kind to you. God says, your job, soldier, is to carry out the plans that he has on your front line. And by the way, it's a battle. Arrows are going to fly. Bullets will be whizzing around. And God knows we'll get injured. But he says, he promises, we won't die. You see, I had it all wrong. I wanted to be the general making the agendas and sending God into the battles. But that's not how it works. Our first thing that we need to remember tonight, the first takeaway is really this. Remember your rank. See, the truth is that God, our general, has a war plan. And we as soldiers are to carry that out. Carry out dangerous missions where maltreatment will happen to us. In the alleyways where Scott Farkas hangs out. You see, there are no pretty wars, but we're caught up in one. Point two is this tonight. Remember the work is being done for God's agenda. Matthew 5, 10 through 12 says this. Jesus said, you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, Jesus says, Count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means, Jesus says, is that the truth is too close for comfort and they're getting uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer. For though they don't like it, Jesus says, I do. And all heaven applauds. Heaven applauds God's agenda being accomplished. The problem is that we usually are not privy to God's full agenda, especially the final product. David Smallbone is someone who can attest to that. You see, David Smallbone, he was a guy about 10 years ago who lived in Australia. And he felt, as a believer in God, that Jesus really wanted him to start promoting Christian concerts in Australia. There's only one problem. Australia only has about 5% of its population that believe in Jesus Christ. But David Smallbone felt convinced that God wanted him to do this. And God showed him along the way that this was what he was supposed to do. So David took a $250,000 loan and did a Christian concert for God. The problem is nobody came. And in the end, David Smallbone lost his house and lost it all. Wife and children stayed with him, but he was broke, penniless. All he had left was a little bit of furniture that nobody wanted. Creditors repossessed his home, and him and his six children had to go look to live elsewhere. But then, luckily, or shall I say, through the grace of God, a musician from Nashville sent David a job offer. It said, I'd like you to come and have this job taking care of my career. And so they packed up a little bit they had and headed out to Nashville. And when David arrived there with his family, he was told the job had been filled. He took too long to get there. Now he had nothing but teenage children in a new country with nothing. Interesting things started to happen, though, for David. He said bags of groceries would show up on our front porch. A used minivan with a title and a set of keys showed up. Odd jobs were offered to him, and he started to at least squeak by. Through it all, he never lost his faith. Through it all, he always showed his kids, no matter what, we trust God. God's never wrong. We'll follow him. And his children watched as David progressed. And one of his children, he had a daughter named Rebecca. She decided that she would get a little more serious with what she was doing. She had been fooling around a little bit with music, but she decided she would get very serious. She could write songs, but she said, I need to write good songs. And at 15 years old, Rebecca was given a recording contract. She didn't use the name Smallbones. She used the name St. James. And Rebecca St. James went on to have a very large career in the Christian music industry with her father at the helm. You see, gang, when bullies come our way, when trials come, when hard things happen, two things always happen. Two things that happen are this. God is working in the soldier. In this case, David would tell you over and over, $250,000 wash. You know what? It drove me closer to God, just like Jesus promised. That time of bullying, that you might say, or that time of hardship, strengthens David's relationship with God. He said he realized then he wasn't a believer in God for fun. He did it for real. The second thing that happens in these times is that God is working in others. Rebecca watched her father live for Jesus Christ through the good and the bad. She wrote many of her songs about him. She just never said it that way. She also got very serious with her relationship with God. You see, in these times, as hard as they are, God's working in the soldier and in others. There is a war going on, and this war is between the darkness of this world and the light of God's kingdom. And remember, you and I are soldiers of God's light. And if you are an active soldier, if you are shining that light, there'll be no shortages of bullies coming your way. But remember, God has a plan that you can trust in, even if you can't see it all. A third point tonight is this. Remember the company you're in, the company being Jesus and the prophets. Luke 6:22 says this, God blesses you who are hated and excluded and mocked and cursed because you are identified with me, the Son of Man, is Jesus speaking. He says, when that happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets, they were also treated that way by your ancestors. Matthew 5:23, Jesus says, and no, that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. You see, gang, the Bible is the story of God's interaction with mankind. It's the story of how God created mankind. It's also the story of how God lost mankind. And it's the story of how God fought to get mankind back into relationship with Him. And it's the story of how God will one day live with us forever in eternity. Now this story, the Bible, is filled with amazing characters, heroes, people like Moses, people like Joshua, soldiers like Esther, soldiers like Ruth, soldiers like Paul and Peter. In their stories, they have dealt with their bullies. And they've written their part. But the interesting thing is, if we look at this honestly, the story that God has created of mankind, the story isn't over. It's still being written. There's still more battles being fought. These prophets that Jesus tells us not to forget about, that he tells us to feel in good company with, they've handed the pen to us. Said, now write your story. Talk about your Scott Farkas. Talk about the times that God sends you into a battle where the bullets are flying. Where, yeah, there were some scars that were taken. But God brought me through. I'm going to ask the band, the worship leaders, to bring us back. To come back. And one of the things I want to encourage you to see that's going to happen in this story is that there's an end coming. There is a completion that God talks about. We know we're still writing our version of the story. You're one of his soldiers and you're writing the part that God has for you. But there's an end coming. Would you like to know what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back riding on a white horse? Would you like to know what's going to happen to this earth? Would you like to know what it's going to be like in a new heaven? Would you like to know those things? Well, show them, Eric. Oh, next week. Okay. That'll be next week. I promise you next week. But for today, to get you through what God has for you this week, let's have the band take us through and sing about a God who is mighty to save and can lead us through any bullying that comes our way. Jesus, thank you for being honest with us in your word and letting us know that if we choose to let our lights shine, there are those who would want to snuff that out. But Lord, thank you for telling us that we are on the right track when we do so, that we are advancing your kingdom. And Lord, that's the agenda that we want to live. Not to just get all that we can for ourselves in this life and through you, but Lord, to advance your agenda, to let this world know that there is a relationship waiting for each and every one of us with the Creator of the universe. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us strong through the weekdays, that we would remember who it is who walked before us, who has handed us the pen and said, now it's your turn to write with your lives. And Lord, even as we look forward to the day that you will come back and you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Keep us strong through the power of your Holy Spirit. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen.